The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
It is a voice from your present and past. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rick Adams. I'm pinch hitting for John Stadtmiller today, and only today, perhaps. Tomorrow we are on our regular program, as you know, from 1 to 3 Central Time. And I'm very happy to be here filling in for John tonight. It's certainly something that brings back some old memories, and working with Board Op Mike, and we're just thrilled at the opportunity for a couple of hours here to get together. And, you know, in opening the program, I think of the Book of Revelation. I was taping three television programs early today, this morning, at the studio in my state, Public Access Television. And one of them that I dealt with was the Book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 21. And it tells of the falling upon the Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, and the men there who have been just about ready to murder the two witnesses who have come back, Elijah and Moses, undoubtedly. And great hail falls upon their heads. And hailstones, I mean like about 100 to 150 pounds, hailstones. That's pretty excessive, wouldn't you think? You know the damage that they could do? You can imagine. You know, we have hailstorms just about everywhere. And we've had them here. And, you know, they weigh about maybe 2-3 pounds, 5 pounds. And you can hear them just hitting the surfaces of your cars, your roads, your house. But can you imagine hailstones that large, that weighty, falling upon the city of Jerusalem in those last days that are coming? When these denizens of darkness, these Kenites, the sons of Cain, rule that city and do the abominable. And the most abominable thing is when they kill two witnesses sent back by God to witness to that city and all the inhabitants. And this is going to be televised, you know, worldwide. We'll be able to see this. So I hearken to that time. I'm looking forward to it. When that city that has denounced Christ, denounced God, repudiated him, and has said, in essence, and will say, of course, when this beast system is fully formed shortly, who will make war with us? Who will make war with the beast? You see, and that's when God begins to roll out his weaponry. So that's a very comforting thought for many of us in the book of Revelation. Of course, not for them, but for us it is. And I certainly, as I say, I look forward to that time. Well, today is, let's see now, what is today? What happened in history? June 8th, 1967. It was the day that shall live in infamy, to quote a president of the United States, that day in which the USS Liberty ship, the Recon ship, was attacked in international waters, unarmed essentially by the Israeli Defense Forces. And of course, it was one of their former prime ministers who was killed, who was shot dead, who happened to be leading the IDF then. And that ship was just singled out, targeted. And of course, the government, being a lying bunch of people, these Kenites are, in addition to murderers, just turned around and flat out said, we didn't know. We had no idea that it was an American ship. Well, you know, liars continue to lie continually. Try to blame Egypt, try to blame the Arabs, try to blame everyone else except themselves. And isn't that what they're doing now? What they're doing with Gaza, the West Bank, shooting every day at killings, a bunch of killings, a bunch of so-called clashes, as reported by the media here. And it's no wonder that they can get away with it. I mean, they have a president in the White House. They have a man who, no matter what they do, has given his consent, his blessing to whatever it is they want to do. And we know why. We know that they have an enormous portfolio on the Donald Trump. And they can trot out all of his skeletons if he is disobedient to them. So they have a green light, they have a green line, and they have a big line all around the Middle East. And, of course, ultimately the world is what they want. I think I'm going to have Mike play this clip right now, which I think is very good. It's only 6 minutes or so, and it's one of the most concise basic explanations of what took place on that fateful day in 1967, with Vietnam raging and the American people distracted. Israel knew that it could get away with attacking an American ship and killing outright 34 American sailors and wounding some 175 others severely. So let's play that clip right now, Mike, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it.
June 8, 1967 was a clear, sunny day with unlimited visibility. It was such a nice day that as the USS Liberty floated in international waters 40 miles north of the Sinai Peninsula, sailors were sunbathing on the spy ship's deck.
But all wasn't as tranquil as the sunny day would convey, for June 8 also marked the fourth day of the Six-Day War, which involved Israel, Egypt, Syria, and Jordan.
Monitoring the situation was the USS Liberty, a World War II freighter that had been converted into a spy vessel by the NSA, the National Security Agency. In fact, the Liberty was the most sophisticated and identifiable intelligence ship in the world at the time, with dozens of large antennas, state-of-the-art electronic intercept equipment, moon-bound satellite dishes, massive aerials, plus a TRSS comm system that sent real-time messages to the Pentagon. The Liberty also flew a large 5x8-foot American flag, was freshly painted with large white numbers and letters on its bow and hull, and contained no offensive weaponry except for 4 50-caliber machine guns for defensive purposes.
These details are important to keep in mind because at 8 o'clock a.m., as the Liberty floated in international waters at less than 5 knots with a 5x8-foot American flag furling in the wind, A squadron of Israeli jets circled the ship at least a dozen times. These reconnaissance planes flew at such low levels, as close as 200 feet, that the sailors aboard the Liberty actually waved to the Israeli pilots. And, as we will show later in this documentary, those commanding these Israeli jets not only ID'd this ship as being of American origin, they also positively ID'd it as being the USS Liberty.
Despite being fully aware of its status, at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, three unmarked Israeli Mystere and Mirage 3 fighter jets pummeled the Liberty with rockets and cannon fire. These bombers initially went after the ship's antenna and electronics dishes, in the process filling the American flag full of holes. As sailors fled for cover, Liberty crewmen hoisted a new, even larger 7-by-13-foot flag into the air. But this new, even larger flag didn't stop the Israeli onslaught as they sprayed the Liberty with napalm, the highly incendiary substance burning the sailors' flesh.
While this unprovoked act of war was taking place, radio operators aboard the Liberty tried to signal for help, but their SOS distress messages were not heard because the Israelis had deliberately jammed all five of the Liberty's emergency radio channels, a phenomenon that shows quite clearly that the interfering party was aware of their target beforehand and had previously zeroed in on it, for to jam a stranger's radio in such a rapid manner is virtually impossible.
Unable to get help, the USS Liberty, with eight sailors already dead and 100 wounded, including Commander William McGonagall, was a sitting duck for the Israelis, who at 2:24 p.m. sent in three torpedo boats loaded with thousands of pounds of explosives. With their target already in flames, the Israelis bombed the Liberty with shells, quickly killing 25 more men.
As firefighters and medical personnel tried to put out fires and save their ship and crew, they were repeatedly machine-gunned by Israeli aircraft. By 3:15 p.m., after it was apparent that the Israelis didn't want to leave a single man alive, the crew abandoned ship. But as the surviving crewmen fled for their lives, Israeli warships, at close range, sprayed those rafts aboard the ship with gunfire, along with those carrying the wounded that had already been lowered into the water. It was a sickening display of brutality and savage inhumanity, a total lack of regard for human life. The Israelis wanted no survivors.
When word eventually reached the White House, President Lyndon Baines Johnson assumed that it was the Egyptians attacking our ship, so he immediately dispatched air support, which would have reached the Liberty in 40 minutes. But then, when LBJ discovered that it was in fact the Israelis who were attacking our vessel, he immediately called off the rescue.
In other words, Phantom jets, already en route from the 6th Fleet, were ordered to turn around and return to their point of origin. Try to let the seriousness of this situation sink in for a moment. Navy fighters launched from the aircraft carriers USS Saratoga and USS America were recalled by the White House.
But the blame doesn't stop there. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara and National Security Advisor Walter Rostow at first ordered instantaneous retaliation, but upon discovering that the attack originated from Israel's Haifa base, McNamara called off the exercise. In fact, it was reported later that Robert McNamara was so irate when discovering that Liberty radio men contacted the USS America that he barked, "Tell the 6th Fleet to get those aircraft back immediately." Due to this traitorous behavior, the USS Liberty had to wait 16 hours after the attack stopped before they were rescued by our military forces. It is the only instance in American naval history that a rescue mission was aborted while an American ship was under attack.
In all, the Israeli attack on America's USS Liberty, a ship that sat almost motionless in the water with no offensive weaponry while sailors sunbathed on its deck, lasted for 2 full hours, equaling the length of Japan's infamous attack on Pearl Harbor. 821 holes were found in the ship, resulting from aircraft rockets, cannon fire, and torpedo blasts, while over 3,000 holes from Israel's machine gun fire were also counted.
Far more tragically, the Israelis killed 34 Americans that fateful day, wounded 171 more, and instigated the worst U.S. naval losses since World War II. And even though U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk and Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Thomas Moore called this attack deliberate, to this day not one guilty party in Israel or the U.S. has been brought to justice.
Well, That's a pretty good summation for the most part, and doesn't tell the full story, of course. But tomorrow on my program, I will have Philip Turney on and Dave Gahary to talk to us once again about that attack. They've been doing a lot of interviews, and you've been hearing a lot about it today here and there on RBN. But I don't think we can hear it enough, folks. I really think just as we constantly are bombarded every day with Holocaust theology and the story of yet another German soldier being put up for trial again on Holocaust charges, and just the other day there was announced just such another trial. Well, in any event, because of all of that, we need to compete and compete with that and completely tell the truth and be honest about it and never let it die. Never let it end. Never give it a rest, because it is part of America. And isn't it ironic that all these war hawks in this country now, these breast beating, chest thumping, heart palpitating army people, Navy people, Marines, and people in the high brass, the Pentagon, the National Security Agency, and so forth, these John Boltons of the world, are just hot on getting us into more wars because they love our troops so much and they love America so much that, you know, in any event. Yeah, I'll talk to you a little bit later, Dave, okay? So I'm constantly being interrupted here by people who should know better. Anyway, okay. So isn't it ironic that these people are actually pulling this stuff? They're having the gall to send our people off to war, and yet they will not honor people who were on a peace mission, not a war mission, in the Middle East, in international waters, that they would be savagely attacked in that manner. Totally attacked, needlessly, mercilessly, murderously, and scurrilously. Can I add some more? You bet. So where are they today? I ask, where are all of the media, all of the local media, as well as the bought and paid for corrupt national media? Where are these reporters? Where are these commentators? Where are these generals, all of these great warmongers? And they're on the air, some of them doing shows. Some of them have never served in the military themselves, but they are always constantly beating the drums for war. Constantly pushing war. Well, how come they don't honor these innocent folk on the USS Liberty ship? That's the question that I put out. And the reason is very simple. Because they're being politically correct. They are kissing up to their masters in Jerusalem. And as it says in the scriptures, you know, all of the nations of the world, all of the kings of the world, all of the princes of the world, all of the hottentot potentates of the world have kissed up to this city and this beast system, this nation. They've had to for their daily bread. They've sacrificed their souls, their honor, if they had any, their morals, their convictions, whatever they think privately, they've thrown out the window simply because of the fact that they are butt kissers for the Zionist regime and all of these lovely Kenites that tell them how to survive in politics, how to manage to, if you will, increase in stature in politics. And I've seen it in my state. I've seen people who said they were running for office, higher office. They were running for Congress, not quite higher office, I suppose, but nonetheless running for Senate, running for Congress, and you've seen it in your districts, in your states, all across this country. And one of the first things they do is announce their Pledge of Allegiance, not to America, not to the Constitution, not to liberty, but to the synagogue of Satan in Jerusalem. Shame on them. Shame on them. We'll be back with much more, folks. Rick Adams is filling in for John Statham.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I guess we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams filling in with John Statfield. That's me. And I'm just, as I said, spending the last 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes actually, talking about the USS Liberty. And as I said, I will continue to say that we can't talk about it enough. One day of the year, and we can't find anybody in the media except a couple here and there in alternative media. And in local media that will even do a story, do a broadcast about it. So it goes to show you one thing, and I think we can all agree on that. And that is that these people, these pontificators, these people that claim they love our country so much, and they love our great military so much, and they love our troops so much overseas, are nothing but hot air, hot wind, and full of malarkey. They don't mean a word of it. They are part of the military, industrial, media, political complex. And that's all they are. Because when push comes to shove, and Americans have suffered and died, that is their fellow combatants, their fellow soldiers, their fellow naval men, their fellow servicemen, have never been fully honored in any way or measure by Congress, then they are proving they're gutless, they're spineless, and they're political demagogues. And didn't I just say that? I just said it a few minutes ago that in my area, your area, the very first thing they're willing to do is pledge a loyalty oath to the state of Israel. Not because they necessarily love Israel. They really don't necessarily love them at all. In fact, in many cases, they have disdain for it. It's not because of that. No, it's because they know that in order to advance politically, they must bow the knee and they must kiss the ring and they must lick the feet of the master. That's the way it has to be. And that is an admission of political bankruptcy and corruption from the bottom all the way up to the top. You want to say that, the White House. Each and every one of them, with the exceptions of a handful that I can think of. In fact, so few that I can just about count them on two hands. And that includes my thumbs. That I know nationally and that I know locally who have dared to speak out. Remember Finley's book, Congressman Finley's book, They Dared Speak Out? He, Paul Finley, was a patriot. He was not a right-wing conservative by any means, but yet he had an inkling of a conscience. He had an inkling of some soul-searching because he really, truly thought of American values before Israel's antithetical values. And then we think of Pete McCloskey. And Pete McCloskey, as you probably know, some of you do, if you follow political matters going back decades, challenged Richard Nixon in the primary. We had John Ashbrook, who challenged Richard Nixon, too, in the 1970s. And, of course, John Ashbrook was running for United States Senate from Ohio, same state, I believe, as Paul Finley. And he died a very mysterious death running against Howard Metzenbaum, the parking garage king. John Ashbrook I met when I was traveling many years ago as a young person. I met him in Washington, and Ashbrook was really quite a true conservative. He wasn't one of these mamsy-pamsy types. I thought he was, and he actually stood the test. And then he decided he was going to run for United States Senate at a critical time in the 1980s. And then he had this mysterious, incredible seizure that took place. Apparently some abdominal explosion, and I forget exactly what it was, but there was no autopsy done on him. He was, I believe, cremated very quickly because there was suspicion that he was poisoned. And it was probably the Metzenbaum people connected to the Mossad. Ashbrook was not necessarily in any way that I knew of a defender of Zionism. And he was going to win that race for Senate. Others have tried as well, many of them. But in the meantime, all of these other political demagogues that we've seen come along and just say they would support Israel before they do anything else because Israel's values and our values are perfectly the same. Well, in fact, they're lying, and they know they're lying, but that's how you get ahead in politics, is to lie. And so when we think of biblical times, we think of Pilate pleasing the mob, satisfying the mob, when he would say, you know, I find no fault in this man, but I'll give you a choice, Barabbas or him. Right now, he had to do what he did because Christ had to die on that cross for the remission of sins. But he was murdered, plain and simple. Christ was set up for murder, and those who murdered him are of the same seed line that are murdering people today. The same group of people, just different names, to protect the guilty. I think it's time for another break, and we will do that. Few minutes on the National Intel.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out? School, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out? At school, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
Yumsy, yumsy, yumsy. One 800-313-9443 is the magic number to dial in. As you all know, we will take calls. There is another issue, of course, that has to come up, and that has to do with this business of the Supreme Court issuing a decision in the Bakers case. As you know, the Colorado Bakers, the Christians who refuse to do business with homosexual couples, stood on religious grounds, the very First Amendment grounds that protect us from a federal government and anti-discrimination in laws. Now, these businesses, these laws, these corporate entities that we talk about is a very interesting subject because years ago it became an issue in 1963. This was under the Kennedy administration. Much of it followed the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And it had to do with this concept of civil rights. And civil rights simply means group rights. It does not mean individual rights. The very nature of civil rights is anathema to the concept of individual liberty. Why? Because the government has no business telling any parties voluntarily, privately, cooperating and engaging in exchange in the marketplace who they should and should not do business with in their personal business arrangements or otherwise, especially in their church affairs. So this concept of civil rights came along codifying this business of federal intervention to, quote, protect people on any basis whatsoever, on basis of nationality, ethnic origin, skin color, and so forth. And it always sounds so nice. And who was behind it? Well, we know the same people that kill people in Gaza, same people that kill children in the West Bank, kill them in Iraq, kill them in Syria, all across the globe. It's the same tribe that says, do as we say, but not as we do. And this is why Martin Luther King and Ralph Abernathy and that whole crowd, the Jesse Jacksons of their time, were financed by these organizations such as the American Jewish Coalition, the American Jewish Congress, the Zionist Organization of America, and so on and so forth. So I decided that I would add my two cents, because this decision, even though it favored the defendants in this case, the Bakers, is a decision which has no place in law. It has no basis in Supreme Court jurisdiction or any federal court. And because the Constitution has been so bastardized and totally, completely denuded of its meaning and its literacy, I thought I would add a few cents from a scholarly point of view. And that would be one of the reports that I have resurrected here from 1963 and 1964. And that was the Dan Smoot commentary on the 14th Amendment. Because in all of these decisions where the court arrogates to itself power it does not have, they constantly refer to the illegally unratified 14th Amendment as a justification for intervention in all state and local affairs. They call it the absorption doctrine, where the Bill of Rights have been absorbed into the 14th Amendment so that the 10th Amendment is nullified, reversing the meaning of the First Amendment and every other amendment. So I want to roll that tape now so you get an idea. What was it like in 1963 and 4 to propose this concept of the 14th Amendment, which had already allegedly been ratified in the 1870s, the 1800s, and by the Radical Republican Congress? That's the Abraham Lincoln Congress. What followed the so-called Civil War was a total destruction of the meaning of constitutional government in the United States. So I want you to listen carefully now to what Mr. Smoot says in reviewing very briefly in an abrogated form his discussion, his monologue against the illegal 14th Amendment. Then you'll understand why the courts are totally out of control today and we are being ruled by a judicial oligarchy. All right, Mike, let's roll that one now. Let's roll that audio. Yeah, you can skip the intro or you can play it. Either way.
This interpretation of the illegal 14th has caused such legal confusion as to render our system of constitutional law almost meaningless, even if the courts were restrained from further misinterpretations. Congress should resubmit the 14th Amendment for legal ratification or rejection. I believe the people would reject it because we cannot restore constitutional government until the 14th Amendment and all its progeny are abolished. That is a summary of my report on the 14th Amendment. The full report after a message from my sponsor. The 14th Amendment of the Constitution, proclaimed and ratified in 1868, was never legally adopted. Yet it is the basis for contemporary court decisions and governmental practices which are shattering the foundations of our free society. Congress should resubmit the 14th Amendment for legal ratification or rejection. I do not think we can restore the American Constitutional Republic until the people compel their Congress to take such action. Hence, I offer a brief review of the incredible history of the 14th Amendment. Throughout the war between the states, 1861-65, President Lincoln maintained that the American Union was indivisible, that the war was being fought not to abolish slavery, but to suppress rebellion, which threatened to dismember the Union. And that once the rebellion was suppressed, the union of all states would exist exactly as before hostilities. The day hostilities ended, therefore, the southern states were constitutionally entitled to their full representations and rights in the National Congress. The federal government could not legally lay down conditions for readmitting the southern states because, according to the doctrine of Lincoln and the decision of war, they had never left the Union. Lincoln was assassinated April 14, 1865, 5 days after Lee's surrender. But Lincoln's successor, President Johnson, quickly carried out Lincoln's plan of Reconstruction. In each Confederate state, Johnson appointed a temporary governor to maintain order while the people of that state held elections and formed the new state government. Persons entitled to vote in these elections were those who had been qualified to vote prior to the Civil War and who took an oath of allegiance to the Union. By mid-July 1865, all Confederate states except Texas had thus established legitimate governments, and all of them, except Texas and Mississippi, acting as states in the Union, had ratified the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. When Congress convened in December 1865, the radicals in control refused, however, to seat representatives and senators from these Confederate states. Thus, that Congress was illegal because it denied representation to states constitutionally entitled to it. In June 1866, the illegal Congress considered proposing the 14th Amendment. The vote on this proposal failed to pass in compliance with the constitutional requirement that two-thirds of both houses must approve a resolution proposing a constitutional amendment. Nonetheless, the radical leadership of Congress arbitrarily declared the 14th Amendment resolution enacted and submitted it to all states for ratification, including the Confederate states, which had been denied representation. 10 Confederate states and 4 northern states rejected the proposed 14th Amendment. So Congress passed a law abolishing the 10 Confederate states, setting them up as military districts under army dictatorship, with the proviso that when they ratified the 14th Amendment, they would be admitted to the Union as states. Although the Constitution provides that only states already in the Union can ratify an amendment and gives Congress no power at all to meddle in state decisions to amend or not to amend the Constitution. Army bayonets escorted illiterate Negroes and white carpetbaggers from the North and from foreign countries to the polls, keeping Southern whites away. Only Northerners, foreigners, Negroes, and Southern scalawags were permitted to hold office in the Reconstruction governments thus formed. When Southern states sought judicial relief, the Supreme Court refused because the Radical Congress had threatened to abolish the Supreme Court if it handed down any decisions favorable to the South. By July 20, 1868, 6 of the Confederate states thus reconstructed had ratified the 14th Amendment. Meanwhile, however, 2 northern states had changed their minds. Their sense of decency outraged by the monstrous procedures, the legislators of New Jersey and Ohio had withdrawn their former ratifications and had rejected the proposed 14th Amendment. This meant that, even with the 6 Confederate ratifications made at gunpoint, there were not enough ratifications to meet the constitutional requirement that 3/4 of all states must ratify a constitutional amendment. But on July 21, 1868, Congress declared the 14th Amendment ratified anyway. This illegal appendage to our organic law has been used by the Warren Court in recent years as authority for decisions which, if permitted to stand, will complete the destruction of our republic. In the school segregation decision of May 1954, for example, the Supreme Court, using the 14th Amendment as its authority, assumed the power to change the meaning of the Constitution in order to make a decision which the court desired. In the Monroe case decision of February 1961, the court held that the 14th Amendment gives certain individuals right to bypass the normal processes of law in state courts and to bring cases against state and local officials directly in federal courts. Dissenting in this Monroe case, Justice Frankfurter said, "The Supreme Court's decision completely eliminates the constitutionally reserved rights and responsibilities of all state and local governments." In the Baker versus Carr case of March 1962, the Warren Court held that the 14th Amendment gives federal courts power to control the apportionment and districting of states for purposes of state and local elections. This decision voided the laws of Tennessee, but 26 other states were also indirectly involved. This decision, giving the federal government power to regulate the composition and representation of state legislatures, makes state governments mere branches and tools of Washington authority. In the New York school prayer case of June 1962, the Supreme Court used the 14th Amendment as authority to reverse the meaning of the First Amendment. Whereas the First Amendment prohibits the federal government from interfering with the free exercise of religion, the Supreme Court used the First Amendment, as reinforced by the 14th, as authority to outlaw the free exercise of religion. The destructive effect of these and other recent Supreme Court decisions will grow and multiply. The Constitution gives Congress authority to prohibit the court from accepting appeals in cases involving matters which, by the clear terms of our Constitution, are beyond federal jurisdiction. The public should strive to elect a Congress which will take such action. But even if this were done, we would still have the legal chaos which illegal Supreme Court decisions have already caused. Eisenhower's invasion of Arkansas with military force in 1957 and Kennedy's occupation of the city of Oxford, Mississippi, are fruits of the Supreme Court's decision of May 1954. A frightful number of public school systems in the United States have already eliminated all recognition of God in the classrooms as a result of the Supreme Court's New York prayer case decision. The most fundamental of states' rights, the right of representative government free of outside interference and domination, has already been abrogated in Tennessee by the 1962 Baker versus Carr decision and is threatened in 26 other states. Misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment, which is not a valid part of our Constitution, has caused such legal confusion as to render our system of constitutional law almost meaningless, even if the courts were restrained from further misinterpretations. Obviously, we need to eliminate the 14th Amendment and all the fruits of it. Get rid of the amendment and nullify all court decisions, executive actions, administrative regulations, and laws based on it. But how? Congress could enact a resolution proposing repeal of the 14th Amendment. But this would be tacit recognition that the amendment is now legal. Moreover, this vital question should be resolved not by some branch or agency of government, but by the people themselves. Congress should enact a resolution resubmitting the 14th Amendment for legal ratification or rejection. If the people want the 14th Amendment and all that it has produced, they could persuade 3/4 of the state legislatures to ratify it legally. I believe, however, that if given a chance, the people would tell their state legislators to reject the 14th Amendment. Large numbers of Americans are coming to realize that unless the 14th Amendment and all its progeny are abolished, we will not, no matter what else we may do, restore constitutional government in the United States. The meaning of constitutional government is that the government must be bound by the contract, the Constitution, which created the government. If public officials can change the Constitution, which they are sworn to uphold and obey, as they have been using the 14th Amendment as authority to do, then we actually have no Constitution. The law of the land becomes whatever officialdom wants it to mean on any particular day. We are at the mercy of a judicial oligarchy, which today can say that the Constitution and the laws mean one thing, but tomorrow can decide that they mean something else. That kind of chaos has already been created in our whole system of constitutional law by Warren Court misinterpretations of the illegal 14th Amendment. I know of no way to remove this confusion except by removing the basis of it, the 14th Amendment. This is a decision, however, that should not be made by Congress, but should be made by the whole people, acting through due constitutional process, through process as prescribed in the Constitution. Goodbye. God bless you.
And we're just about up on the break time on John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. I'm Rick Adams filling in. I think you'll admit that there's some pearls of wisdom here that you've just heard from Dan Smoot. Unfortunately, it's too logical, too rational, too intelligent, and too truthful for any political demagogue, any politician, to even understand it, let alone to adhere to it. No, we are now in the final stages of that imperial empire, where law means nothing, where law is written by the courts, it is written by executive decree, and it is written by politicians without any basis in factual constitutional contract. So that's where we are, and we have to go the full course in this country and the world. But don't worry, folks. There's a Savior coming, and he will save us from ourselves, and he will be the deliverer who will heal the nations of the world. And, you know, his name is, I think it's called Lucifer or Satan, and that ought to tell you where we are now at the end of this game, folks. And we'll be right back to continue. Art is going to be coming on in the next hour. Art from Philly. So stay with us. Much more to come.
Took it all away. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture in the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, folks, that means we're back. Rick Adams is filling in for John Stadtmiller, the National Intel Report. It's hard to believe. John and I go back a long time, and it's just about 15 years now that I've been on Republic and also been doing the public access television show. I think 15 years is enough time to be able to get the word out, the message out. And now it's coming up on judgment time, I think. And one of the things that I have thought about mentioning for some time in detail is what's happening with volcanic activity across the world. We're seeing these incredible displays of eruptions of volcanoes, and of course Hawaii for one, Kilauea, and that one there has, we're told, has helped to bring about the destruction of hundreds of homes in Hawaii, including the mayor's most destructive day since May 3rd. My goodness, that is just incredible. You know, hundreds of homes that were destroyed overnight with the lava flowing and the magma coming up and the flames and the fires and the shooting up of all sorts of heat and rural fires being caused by it. These are the signs of the times that we're witnessing on the earth right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty obvious that they're all over now. They're all across the United States, they're all across the globe, where they're all across the parts of the world that we haven't seen active now in a long time. Volcanoes in central Italy, certainly up in Iceland, where we're seeing all of these amazing displays of the earth in rebellion against man's rebellion. And that's God himself. And it's amazing how all of the media reports, all of the scientists who have talked about it have displayed an ignorance of the scriptures, maybe purposely so, maybe intentionally so. They do not wish to speak about it. And it's quite obvious that they don't know what they're talking about to begin with. And number two is it would be an admission that God is in control. And that is, I think, the last thing they want to admit is that they are not in control. But God is, and he says that he is going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the heavens in those days leading up to the man of sin appearing in Jerusalem, and that's the fake Jesus coming. So these earthquakes as well now, the tsunamis, incredible things that people are just in awe of, to see this fireworks display on a magnitudinous level is just incredible. I think we need to talk a lot about these things as well. Coming up should be Art from Philly to join me in the second half of John's show. And we will take a break and come back. You can join us anytime, folks. You know the number. Rick Adams filling in.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.